We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. You know, we come here and we greet each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do that this evening. We need to remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, it's referred to and said, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I'd like to connect that with a thing that's written in Moroni, I believe, that says that you should hold up your light to the world, and that the light that you shall hold up, Christ speaking, is the light of Christ, the things that we have seen him do. And of course, the things that we read that he wrote, that spoke, he did that. He spoke those things. And we need to realize that they are important and that we can never go about making any declaration in his name without including the fact that he is the Son of God. We have a nation here that God has given special qualities and a special land. But while we're talking about that, I'm going to read to you the first chapter of James. And there are many things set in here. And of course, after several of all the things that I'll read to you about what James declares in this first chapter, there is a point that I need to make that he makes during this that to me connects the sayings of the whole chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And I'll stop there for just a moment, because these particular verses have a special connected to us. Let me go to, normally I'll say this. Let me go to try to defend our position. As a church, we always go to the prophecies and all this. And it's true, this is the way we prove things. But if you have all read the history, there was a young boy, I believe he was 14 years old at the time, that went into the woods to pray. And he says in his testimony that he had never prayed aloud before. He only had one desire. He wasn't trying to prove a point for himself. And when he went in there to pray, he tells you why he went. He wanted to find out what was the right thing for him to do. He hadn't already decided. He just wanted to know. And that's all. He wasn't trying to get a thing clear in his mind so he could prove something to somebody. That wasn't what he was after. He wanted to know what God's will was. And he found out. Because apparently he believed this verse 5 here and 6. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so he did that. So we need to remember that. That simple thing that he was asking. He didn't have a lot of other things in his mind according to his testimony. He just said, that's what I was there to ask. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." There is so much in that chapter that probably somebody that was a better talker than I could make a multitude of sermons from it. But the thing that I'm going to focus on now, all of the things that he said were a part of the pattern that our Lord Jesus Christ taught. He taught both in parables and in words of other ways. But it refers to a perfect law. And some people would say, well, now, wait a minute, it's not perfect. I believe it is a perfect law of liberty. We have been focused to that. We're supposed to be in a special law, rather, a special land. And in being in that special land, we will be a free people. And to show you some of the promises of the land, there are some other readings that I would like to focus your mind on tonight. This perfect law of liberty, most all of us that have read a little bit of history realize that mankind seemed to be trying, since the creation almost, as long as you can find history about what they did, trying to find a way that works better for him. But his own human selfishness always gets in the way. He can't seem to, in the long term, be able to set that aside. It always gets the better of him. But this perfect law of liberty is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the rules that he gave. And so now we're going to have to discover what we believe. Do we believe that God's word is true? People talk about Jesus Christ, and I guess I've run into more lately, but forever in my memory, I seem to be hearing those stories about different people who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but in the end, they don't believe what he says. So what we're saying is that in the fifth chapter, or rather in the third chapter of Revelation, it talks about this faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Alpha and Omega. This is Jesus Christ. He was sent to earth to give us a story of how to live. And as he was sent, and he broke these things down for us, if we don't believe him, then we don't believe who he is. And people have come to the place in much of what we call our Christian society. They have heard the name of Jesus Christ, but to believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, they don't believe all that. Do we? We're coming to our finest hour. Will we react in the way that our Lord Jesus Christ asked us to react with the hardships that are going to be presented to us, that have already presented themselves to us. In many conditions that we have run into in our lives, and now the heading of the government has taken us to a place where we can see no way of putting things in reverse to some people. We have to realize that there is one way, and it's contained in this perfect law of liberty, which connects itself with the phrase or the clause, whatever you want to call it, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And we need to realize that these are things that God has put there for us. I'm going to read you a few verses from the first chapter of 2 Nephi. I'll start at verse 1. Now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had made an end of teaching my brethren, our father, Lehi, also spake many things unto them, how great things the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of the land of Jerusalem. And he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters and the mercy of God in sparing their lives, that they were not swallowed up in the sea. And he also spake unto them concerning the land of promise, which they had obtained, how merciful the Lord had been in warning us that we should flee out of the land of Jerusalem. For behold, saith he, I have seen a vision, in the which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed, and that had we remained in Jerusalem, we would also have perished. But, said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God hath covenanted with me should be a land of the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord hath covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. So see, it's not just dedicated. It is the dedicated inheritance of a certain seed, but there are others that are included. Also, all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy concerning the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there should be none come into this land, save they should be brought by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring. And if it so be that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore they shall never be brought down into captivity, if so it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes. But unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever. These are things we need to take to heart and have that confidence in God that his promises are true, and that he means what he says. Because even among us, we come to the place sometimes where, well, everything is going to be overcome. No. We call the church a kingdom. A kingdom that was established by the hand of the Lord, brought into being to reestablish in the setting of his hand the second time his word among the children of men to recover his people from their drifting away. You say, well, we are so small that we would be Actually, even with all the work we've done, insignificant we would be. But I'm going to relate that to another thing that tells us in the defense of our land. We need to form a certain attitude and teach it to ourselves and to our children. We pray, and we are asked to pray, for our military that have gone in harm's way, that they might come home safe. But if you will allow me, I would like to add a little bit to the request for that prayer. Our goal in this life is to find a way to save our souls and to teach other people how to do the same. This is the thing we need to pray for, that even while they are in harm's way, they may recognize that there is a God in heaven that is able to have his hand on them and shield them, but they need to turn to him and recognize that even in all the chaos that they find themselves in, that if they can maintain that thought in their mind and understand that it is true, they will be changed people, and then they will come back home with a testimony concerning their lives that is different than when they went. We need to pray for that for our young people that are called upon to be deployed in this way. And you say to yourself, well, they can't remember that. I guess I'll have to, well, it'll take a little reading. First, I'll turn to the 21st chapter of Alma. And this is the time when they had a man called Moroni. Now, he's not the Moroni that wrote the last book in the Book of Mormon. It's the Moroni that was the leader and the commander-in-chief of the armies of the Nephites. But they had won some great battles. And so the people of the church had gone about to try to reestablish the church and get things going right in it. And I'm going to start reading a few verses, and then I'm going to skip over to verse 40. I'm going to start at verse 16 in chapter 21 on page 467. And that came to pass after Alma had said these words unto Helam, and he blessed him and also his sons, and he also blessed the earth for the righteous sake. And he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed shall be the land, yea, this land, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, unto destruction, which do wickedly when they are fully ripe. And as I have said, it shall be, for this is the cursing and the blessing of God upon the land. For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. And when Alma had said these words, he blessed the church and all those that should stand fast in the faith from that time henceforth. And when Alma had done this, he departed out of the land of Zarahemla as if to go into the land of Melech. And it came to pass that when he was never heard from, he was never heard of more. As to his death and burial, we know not of. Behold, this we know, that he was a righteous man. And the saying went abroad into the church that he was taken up by the Spirit or buried by the hand of the Lord, even as Moses. So this is the man that had given this prophecy, which is the same prophecy that had earlier been given. But as they were doing this, the priest and all those that in a very short time after that, it seemed like they began to descend away. And some of them went over to the Lamanites. And they were even had this one man that gained a lot of power with their group called Amalickiah. He wanted to be their king. And so they were split. Well, with that in mind, I'll start at verse 40. And Moroni is this man I'm talking about now on page 469. Now it came to pass when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote on it, "In memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children." And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shield and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which he had on the end thereof, the rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessing of liberty to rest upon his brethren as long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, which belonged to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called because of their belief in Christ, which should come. And therefore, at this time, Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. And it goes on, and his prayers were answered. He went forth with this. The people rallied around him. But you notice what he was saying? The light that he was holding up back in that day. This was the Christ that was to come. Hadn't come yet. He's come for us. But it's that same light, that same belief, that same dedication that he was asking. We need to look for. And as we're looking for it, I'm going to go now to the 26th chapter of Alma. I'll start reading on page 513. And it kind of draws a scenario of what the armies are doing. And the focus of my attention here is upon 2,000 young men. And I want you to understand what they were doing. And you can say to yourself, well, the way we fight nowadays is so different from then. The same thing couldn't happen. Yes, it can. It must. Because we must remember to keep the commandments of God is not only done in this room. It must follow us everywhere we go. Difficult. Yeah. Difficult. I'll have to tell you, you can't do it all by yourself. But with God's help, you can do it. He always gives you strength. He will hold your hand. But he asks us to try with all of our might. We heard a testimony this morning. And there was an outstanding thing in that, and I realized that the fact that it was obvious that God had arranged how things could happen and brought about the opportunity and the fruition of the solution. But what happened before that? He asked those people to do everything they knew how to do. They exhausted all of their effort. Then he caused things to come together in such a way that this other way that did solve the problem was brought to their attention and made it possible to solve the problem. Sometimes that happens to us. We have to try everything we know how to do, and then he shows us how to get it done. I'm going to call another story to your attention. We all like the story about how the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to the prophecy of those people, got carried to the Mayas in Yucatan. But we didn't go down there to establish the gospel. We went down there to find a white Indian walled city. I don't know whether you all remember that or not, but I know some here do. But when we got down there, God did what he wanted done. He arranged it, and he took every effort. And Clarence and Angela, with their guide that they had trusted to guide them through the wilderness, tried to lose them. And it was God that helped them find their way and keep in sight of this man. He tried to lose them, to get them lost in that jungle. So see, once again, I have to point out that God will always, doesn't mean they didn't have to do everything they could. They did. But he was there to make it so what they did worked. And that fits into the story that I'm going to read about here, starting at verse 55. Well, I'll back up to 50 a little bit. About these 2,000 young soldiers that had been taught things by their mothers, and they believed it. And I'll point out something else we had pointed out this morning, of the following of the guidance of the Spirit of the Almighty God, which we call the Holy Ghost. They did that too, and that has to be involved when there is a transfer of knowledge from one person to another so that they really know what they're being told is true. Verse 50. And it came to pass that again, when the light of morning came, we saw the Lamanites upon us, and we did flee before them. But it came to pass that they did not pursue us far, before they halted, and it was in the morning of the third day on the seventh month. And now whether they were overtaken by Antipas, and this is the one that was leading an army that was trying to catch them from the back. Now whether they were overtaken by Antipas, we knew not. But I said unto my men, behold, we know not, but that they have halted for the purpose that we should come against them, that they might catch us in their snare. Therefore, what say ye, my sons? Will ye go against them to battle? And now I say unto you, my beloved brethren, Moroni, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites. For as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young, even though they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that we shall fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now, they never had fought, yet they did not fear death. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mother, saying, we do not doubt, our mothers knew. And I guess, being the kind of a guy, like, I wonder just what all it was their mothers taught them, but it had to be the things of having faith in God and joined itself with what Jesus taught. Had to be. And it came to pass that I returned with my 2,000 against these Lamanites who had pursued us. And now behold, the armies of Antipas had overtaken them, and a terrible battle had commenced. And the army of Antipas, being weary because of their long march and so short a space of time, were about to fall into the hands of the Lamanites. And had I not returned with my 2,000, they would have attained their purpose. For Antipas had fallen by the sword, and many of his leaders because of their weariness, which was occasioned by the speed of their march. Therefore, the men of Antipas were being confused because of the fall of their leaders, began to give way before the Lamanites. And it came to pass that the Lamanites took courage and began to pursue them, and thus were the Lamanites pursuing them with great vigor, when Helaman came upon their rear with his 2,000 and began to slay them exceedingly, insomuch that the whole army of the Lamanites halted and turned upon Helaman. Now when the people of Antipas saw that the Lamanites had turned them about, they gathered together their men and came again upon the rear of the Lamanites. And it came to pass that we, the people of Nephi, the people of Antipas, and I with my 2,000 did surround the Lamanites and did slay them, yea, insomuch that they were compelled to deliver up their weapons of war and also themselves as prisoners of war. Now it came to pass that when they had surrendered themselves unto us, behold, I numbered those young men which had fought with me, fearing lest there were many of them slain. But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, they had fought as if with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. And with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. So you see, they saw that and they felt it in battle. We need to focus on this so that God will help us here and our young ones, that no matter where they are, you know, we took the sacrament today. If my memory served me correctly, it says that we, in the prayers, that we'll always remember the Lord Jesus and keep his commandments which he hath given. And we are witnessing unto the Father that we will do this, and we will do it so his Spirit can be with us. That Spirit is the thing we need to have I need to reword that, because as it is being given to us as an abiding comforter, sometimes it startles us because we recognize it's there and we kind of ignored it for a moment. We need to constantly recognize its presence and ask God that we will, and not take it for granted or get used to it so that we ignore it. Because it is there. I'd like to take now the time to read some from chapter 10 of Moroni. The thing I'm trying to present to us and myself is that no situation can we find ourselves in. No place can we go that God can't find us or help us when we need Him. But we need to remember Him. We need to be in a position to cry out to Him. And sometimes it's an outcry that we didn't really need, or rather recognize the fact that we needed to make, until it's there. And all we can do is within ourselves is cry out and say, God, help me. Here in the 10th chapter of Moroni, it tells us that these words have been given us as if they were coming from the dust. And that if we ask with a sincere heart, He will tell us whether they're true or not. And He will do that. I wouldn't say that He necessarily does it because you're worthy. He does it because you ask. Would you say that Joseph Smith at the time, even when the calls, we sometimes hear people talk, well, he's not qualified for that. How many of us, in our appraisal of men or boys, would say that Joseph Smith was worthy of doing the task that he was given? I can't think of one of us, especially the one that I've seen, kind of casting aspersions at the idea of some of the ministry that we've had called. Yeah, I know there's doubt in some of your minds, but listen. God is going to handle those things. He is the one. What we need to do now, and this is the thing that I ran into this year again, nearly a panic of people. It seems like as the years go by and we see so many things happen that shows us that we're in the last days, the people think we're doomed. But there is this one thing we need to always remember. While we are here, what is our responsibility? What are we supposed to be doing? You're saying, well, we ought to be correcting these things. Can you do that? Or do you need to be sure you're reaching out and grasping hold of the hand of the Lord and hanging on for dear life, like your life depended on it? Because it does. If you're doing that and doing what God asked you to do and waiting upon the Lord to do the things that He can do, That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's asking us to do. I know you've been told this before, but I want to read you about some things. I'll start at verse 7 just for brevity's sake. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of children of men. The same today and tomorrow and forever. And this is not the only place that's said there about the Lord. We get the idea, and goodness knows we've all run into this if we've talked to people, well, our day is different. So God has to handle things different. The commandments have to be different. Brothers and sisters, the same failings of a human being. We might have computers, we might have more communications, but we're doing all the same things that they've always done. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto man to profit them. For behold, to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit of God, that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again to another, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another, all kinds of tongues. And again to another, the interpretation of languages and of divers kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. And they come unto every man severally according as he will. Not the man, but God. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. If you don't believe it, then it won't work for you. Only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must need be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. Now connect this back to what Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, I believe, where it says, because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. And we live in this day. And this brother is telling us the same thing in different words. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Sometimes we get a little impatient because he doesn't do what we think he should. But that didn't say you can do everything you want to do. He said you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gifts of God. We want to remember that. We say, well, because so-and-so did this, well, we're not having this happen. But if there's one that's able to have God's Spirit upon him, it's going to do good and wants to do it according to God's plan, he's going to be working by the gifts of God. Just one. So we have no excuse. I don't have one. All of these things might not come about just like we want them, but these words are true. I'm going to go and emphasize this unbelief just a little bit more by reading from the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi. I'll begin reading verse 31 on page 657. This is one of those miracles that Jesus did for the people here on this land. On the second day of his visitation to teach the people. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again unto his disciples, and behold, they did pray steadfastly without ceasing unto him, and he did smile upon them. And behold, they were white, even as Jesus. And it came to pass that he went again, a little way off, and prayed unto the Father. And tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed, neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear, and do bear record, and their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of praying, he came again to the disciples and saith unto them, so great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore I could not shew unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Verily I say unto you, there are none of them that have seen so great things as ye have seen, neither have they heard so great things as ye have heard, because of unbelief. A demonstration of the difference. We need to understand. We are in a testing time. Of course, we all live in a testing time. That's what our lives are all about. To see whether we're willing to believe the Word of God. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize that this Word of God and His mighty hand extends to you. You say, well, brother, how do you know? That he will do this. One time I was in a hospital ship somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. And I didn't want to come home. I even prayed that God would make it so I didn't get home. And so he sent somebody to me. He said, well, you don't have to go home. I can take care of that. But he always puts something on you that makes you responsible for whatever happens. And that's what he did this time. says, if you go down with this ship, everybody else will also. I said, well, let me think about that one. And the next day, I sat in the galley, and everybody was talking about going home and how they wanted to meet their loved ones and how much they cared. And this messenger had told me that he would give me the 24 hours. He'd come back the next night, and he did. And I told him I couldn't do it and told him why. He said, all right. And then I asked a question of him, or a request, and asked him if he could do it. And I remember at the time, sometimes God causes you to recognize a need that you have. I told him I had spent my life, I suppose, kind of taken from everybody else and hadn't given anything back and hadn't helped anybody. And I asked him if he could make it so I could do that different. He said, I can do that. Well, in a matter of a few seconds from the time that he left, the storm hit the ship and nearly sunk us, but it didn't. As near as I could find out, there were 5 souls on the ship that perished in that storm. Knocked all the windows out of the wheelhouse, tore a screw off the ship. We limped ashore. We found out later that the ship was salvaged. It couldn't be repaired. A hurricane's a ferocious thing. The sea's as beautiful as anything you ever looked at, it seems to me. But the power of what can happen with the weight of that water, it's incredible. These 5 souls didn't do what they were asked to do. They were told to batten down the hatches, which meant that there was a porthole in every compartment or two. And it had a piece of glass that you looked through when you looked out through the porthole that was probably 2 inches thick, maybe 3. And there's a quarter-inch steel plate that bolt down over that when they tell you to batten down the hatches. And they thought, that glass is strong enough to hold anything. So they didn't bolt the shield down over them. When all that water hit those, as our ship was tossed around in the sea, it popped that glass out of those portholes, and they had to close the compartment off to save the ship. God does miraculous things, and he makes me know that his promises are always true. And he never changes the things he asks us to do. He just tells us to behave in the way he wants us to. And we want to remember something else. He behaved in this same way himself. He set that example for us. And because of these things and some others added, I feel I have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm important. God gave it to me because I asked. This Jesus Christ is our brother, our leader, our mentor, our guide. And I pray that this message has reached the heart of all of you, even as it has reached my own heart, because we never preach these things. But all the words that you say are said to yourself also. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your attention.